problem with it. My thing would be though, for Micah, my advice would be for Micah would be, just make sure we're all right, and being where your feet are. Because if we're at work and the run game's terrible, but you're doing a podcast every week and the run game is terrible, then what are you really caring about? Are you caring about the crowd that is watching your podcast? Are you caring about the success of our team in the Super Bowl that we're trying to reach?
Big drama in Big D. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giulio. That's the voice of Malik Hooker, safety for the Dallas Cowboys, criticizing Micah Parsons, Hugh, for his podcast. So he went on, I guess Hooker's on a show talking, and he was asked about Micah Parsons and teammates having podcasts. And he basically said he shouldn't have one. And then, so Parsons responded, Hugh, and said, I just wish you had said this to me instead of doing it on some podcast. Does not sound great. Doesn't sound great that Hooker's criticizing him on a podcast, and then Parsons is like, why didn't you just tell me, like, one-on-one? Why did you go do this publicly?
Yeah, that's kind of odd. It's one of those things where you feel like you could talk to your teammate about certain things, but I don't know. I mean, I'm happy that it's happening to Dallas.
Of course.
Because now you best believe when you're in those team meetings in the locker room, there's going to be some conversations that are had that, you just got to be prepared for it. You got to be prepared for what's going to happen next.
So it actually gets worse, and this is good for us here at Philadelphia. So apparently Hooker went on not just to criticize Parsons for talking too much, but actually saying that the Cowboys should pay him last. Here it is.
But who should go first?
Okay, so I'm just get their money thing. Well, I'm going to just go ahead and say this now. Micah should be – Micah, he shouldn't be yet. I wouldn't put Micah yet. I feel like we still got a lot to prove from Micah. Still has a lot to prove. Like he's done a great job his first couple years in the league. Don't get me wrong. He's a fantastic player, but I feel like Micah still has a surface that he don't even know that he can scratch as far as what he's doing. So I would say Micah, Micah's last.
Hugh, your reaction, I want you to put yourself in Micah's shoes. You're at the point of your career, you're about to get your first contract, right? Mm-hmm. You got one from the Eagles, obviously. How would you have felt if one of your teammates said, yeah, we got a lot of guys coming up for deals first. Hugh should go last.
Yeah, you're talking about a young Hugh Douglas, right?
I mean, what are we paying for?
Oh, yeah, he'd have got swung on. because the one thing that you never do, and where you're not supposed to do back when I played, is talk about another man's pockets. Like, talk about another man's money. That's a conversation, especially if you're being disparaging about it. If you're making comments where it's in the negative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you say, hey, what about so-and-so getting paid? You'd be like, hey, that doesn't have anything to do with me. I hope he get as much as he can get. Because that's kind of how it is. Because you're in a situation where no matter how much the owners pay you, they're still not going to be broke.
So I thought he was put on the spot, right? He's got three teammates, all stars, looking to get a lot of money. Like, hey, who should go first? That's a tough question to answer as a teammate.
Yeah, and it's not your place to answer it.
The weird part was he could have tried to avoid it. Like, hey, yeah. I hope all three get paid. He specifically said, oh, Micah goes last.
He didn't even go in first. He's like, no, I know who should be last,
yeah,
though.
Like, just pay Dak and CD, but Micah, make him wait for his
because
money.
Because we know we're talking about the quarterback. Quarterback probably in this situation takes priority.
Sure.
But you don't have to share that.
I know.
Because you're going, but the thing to me that is interesting about the Dallas Cowboys is that they've always had tumultuous relationships with the offensive and the defensive players, but this is defensive on defensive crime.
It is.
Remember a couple years ago when, no, it was last, was it last year?
Last summer.
When one of the DBs cussed Dak out in practice, called him all out his name,
it was
called
all
him
Diggs.
Everything.
Was it Diggs?
It was
Yeah,
Diggs.
Called him everything but a child of God. Yeah. and you can't do that, man. You can't do that. Like, regardless if you like your teammates or not, you can't allow outside influences influence you guys negatively. Well, like, you can't. You got to keep that in-house.
There's extreme dumpster fire potential in Dallas.
Is.
I mean, this thing is combustible.
We have direct, Hugh especially. Hugh ended up having to rock T.O., because McNabb stuck up for Westbrook getting paid, not T.O. T.O. felt some kind of way about it. And we know how that all ended up in the locker room, Hugh, right?
Yeah.
Those kind of things can fracture locker rooms.
And you know what's funny? If I recall, it was something like I think I was asked during that time. I don't remember exactly what I said. But I don't think I said anything about paying this person or the next person. And I think I said something to the effect that, hey, man, I wouldn't hold out because that's not
right.
That's not. But somebody asked me, what would I do?
Yeah.
And I think that was taken in the wrong context.
And then it all started because, like, T.O. felt some kind of way about the fact that McNabb stuck his neck out for Brian Westbrook
and didn't do it
and not for him.
Yeah, and it's like, man, listen, there's been times where, you know, you want certain teammates to go to bat for you and they don't. And that's, I mean, hey, for whatever reason, you know, they know where their bread is buttered. But I remember specifically, I think I was asked a question and I was like, hey, man, if it was me, I wouldn't hold out because it's me. That's not what I would do. But, that could be taken the wrong way.
So we have all this, and then there's a report out there that CeeDee Lamb could hold out, of training camp if he doesn't get a new deal.
What have I done to deserve
this? We got a lot of dumpster fire potential with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, look, the Eagles are not perfect right now. We know we've discussed a lot of issues they have. But every time that you feel like, the Eagles have all this, I do look to Dallas, and I'm like, well, they probably have it worse. I mean, they've got...
Well, when you have players, and, like, because, like I said, that's a conversation, like... Whenever training camp starts, if they don't reach out to each other, that's something where you want to address that immediately. That's like you get out your car and you walk straight up to him and be like, yo, what's going on?
There's also the irony of the whole thing that this started off as him criticizing Micah for having a podcast.
He was on the podcast.
On a podcast.
Like I said, man, everybody, we're in a space now where everybody has to pick a lane. And what is it that you want to be known for? Do you want to be hot takey? Just like Matthew Stafford's wife a few weeks ago. She went out there and she got a whole can of gasoline and she poured it all over her husband. And then she went back with a flamethrower.
Well, she apologized to the other guy.
Yeah. And it's like, but again, like I said, they had a conversation about which lane that you wanted to be in. And I think that's where, you know, Malik is going with this. He chose a lane where he wanted to be in and he went at his teammate.
Mm.
So yeah, it's a strange place we live. So now, if Malik is going after Micah, then in my opinion, in my younger days, Micah has every right to go in his mouth like a pair of dentures.
You know, who the hell is Malik Hooker anyway? If you're the Cowboys, you cut him in an instant. If Micah Parsons thinks like I don't want to be on a team with this guy,
what a mess! I mean,
what an idiot.
They have extreme dumpster fire potential this season. All right, 215-592-9494. As we have some fun at the Cowboys' expense, of course, react here to the signing of Paul George to a 4-year, $212 million deal.
You gotta love it though. It's the Cowboys.
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's any skepticism or worry. Or just like odd vibes you have about the Eagles. Just look down at Dallas every once in a while. Like, yeah, they're a mess down there. A Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. How do you feel about the Sixers signing of Paul George? Excited or skeptical? 65% excited, 35% skeptical. I would say that's a pretty fair representation. I feel like it's been about 60-40 on our show.
I think the phones are probably even closer to
50-50.
Yeah.
Well, when I saw DeCameron this morning when he was leaving, he said he felt their show and their poll was like 65-35. So it's kind of fitting the poll. Yeah. That feels, I'd say 60-40 feels like the city. Maybe closer to 50-50 just on our phone lines. Here, let's go back to the phones. Ken and Cinnaminson would have thought on Paul George. And I think he's also got some facts here for Kyle about the Cold War after the nonsense last hour. Hey, Ken.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Ken. What's up,
man?
I love the Gen Zers. I love the Gen Zers. The Cold War was not still going on in 1992. Kyle might want to argue that with me, but it was not still going on in 1992.
Ken, am I going to have to school you on the Cold War? Do you want to get schooled by a 28-year-old on the Cold War and the Olympics?
You're going to have to school me on the Cold War.
The Cold War officially ended in 1991. I would say that's the date that you look. If you look up, that's when they say the Cold War ended. Now, Summer Olympics, 1992. Do you not think Americans still wanted to kick the Russians' asses in the Olympics, or do you think the Cold War is over? It's all good.
The Soviet Union collapsed in December of 1991.
I just said that.
The Summer Olympics were in August of 1992.
I also
there
just
no
said
more
that.
Soviet Union. Hence, there was no more Cold War.
So, Ken, you think it was all just over with? No, we're all cool with the Russians now. It's fine.
Yeah, actually, Kyle, since we're schooling each other, let me school you on something. The Russian military was actually opening up their books, showing Russian military secrets to U.S. military personnel by that time.
Yeah, but what about sports and what Americans care about?
Okay. okay.
Whatever. Well, like, let me ask you, Ken, if Dallas got rid of Dak tomorrow, right, and said that the Dallas Cowboys, we know them, is over, are you like, ah, you know what, Cowboys are cool, or do you still want to kick their ass next year,
even though they're a joke? I don't hate the Dallas Cowboys because of Dak Prescott. I hate the Dallas
Cowboys. Well, no, but my point is that they're not really a threat anymore without Dak.
So is Dak the Berlin Wall in this analogy? Okay,
yes.
I just want to make sure. I want to follow along.
I love these analogies.
So he would be a pile of rubble by now in that point. So
you're missing the point. They're no longer a threat, Ken. So but people still cared to beat them.
This is why you can't argue with Gen Zers.
Well, probably because you're wrong.
Okay, whatever.
That's the problem.
The bottom line is, I'm excited for the Olympics, and you're not changing my mind. All right, Kyle? Go ahead, Ken.
Can I talk about... So, the Sixers here, the Olympics are irrelevant, so I agree with Kyle on that. So, listen, the problem is that the real situation is that there was nothing else the Sixers could really viably do. So signing Paul George was the best they could do. But, you know, everybody keeps saying the same thing. If Joel's healthy, you're talking about a guy whose homepage on his internet browser is WebMD. And you're pinning your hopes on whether or not they're going to go anywhere, on whether or not Joel Embiid stays healthy.
Yes.
The team is built around Joel Embiid, and that's the problem. It doesn't matter what combination of people you try around him, and they've tried every combination imaginable around him, and it just hasn't achieved anything. This is not going to move the needle, because the needle is stuck on Joel Embiid. And, you know, Joel Embiid is what's going to make or break the franchise, and he's just not a guy who's going to put the team on his back and take him to the promised land.
That's been it. And Ken, to your point on that, Ken, we appreciate the phone call and the Cold War facts there for Kyle.
Idiocy.
So I think Ken brings up an interesting point, besides the Cold War facts, that we're making this today, and you guys have both said it, like if we had Paul George in that series.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid was hurt in the playoffs. And I'll make the comp back to the Clippers. Like, Paul George played, if you look at his numbers, like Paul, I think Paul George was a good Clipper, right? He played well for the Clippers. The issue for the Clippers was, who was never healthy alongside him? Kawhi. Kawhi is our Joel, right? It's the same thing. Like, Paul George can work with another good player. Like, they won a lot of games in Los Angeles, but in the playoffs, the two of them never got healthy together. It feels like we're creating Clippers East with Paul George, and now instead of Kawhi, it's because every year
Eric Gordon.
Right, every year I looked at the Clippers. I'm like, they have a lot of talent. Like, if they're healthy in the playoffs, they could win.
And they weren't healthy.
They never were healthy in the playoffs. It was always one or both of them, usually one of them, but that was it.
I was saying that the Sixers beat the Knicks with just Drummond last year.
I know.
That's true.
I don't know about that.
Dude, as long as they, like, their biggest issue against the Knicks in every game in that entire series was the non-Embiid minutes. Andre Drummond is a clear upgrade over Paul Reed.
With that, but also in the fourth quarter he wouldn't be playing. Joel struggled in the fourth quarter.
But again, like, we don't really get into those situations if the non-Embiid minutes we just stay afloat.
So who's your favorite signing yesterday? Is it Drummond or is it Paul George? I think it's Drummond. Tell the truth.
No, I think a lot of people got excited about it because of the small sapling size when he was here.
He was
the best center.
I'm allowed to see the picture as a whole, right? It's like a Bob Ross painting, man. You got the big brown streak in the middle and you're like, the hell is this? And then it all comes together and it's a happy little painting.
Yeah, with the happy trees.
Happy accidents, the Sixers. That sums the Sixers up very well. Do we have some news on the Celtics, Kyle? What's going on?
Yeah, we do. So it's pretty interesting timing here. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, breaking, Boston Celtics majority ownership group is planning to make the franchise available for sale. Sources tell ESPN the investment group purchased the team in 2002. Massive development for one of the sport's most valuable properties.
So they got tired. They won and then got tired of everybody. Now they're trying to sell the squad.
That's interesting. Now, from my view, it feels like they're kind of background owners. Like, I don't even know their names until you say, what's their name? What's the guy's name? Wick?
Wick?
Wick Grousback?
Hold on. Yeah, Grousback. Yeah.
I never even heard his name.
Well, he's apparently the majority owner, though.
Right, but, like, you're right. But they're out of sight owners, and who knows, maybe the next guy they get or people they get are going to be more hands-on, maybe that's not good for them. I mean,
or they're more frugal.
Right. This, I would actually think, is good for us, right? Because it seems like they're good owners. They pay their players. They pay coaches. They're usually really good.
So you're hoping for some bad owners.
Of course. I hope they have terrible owners.
Dan Snyder is a free agent owner.
Go buy the team. Yeah. You know what? I want them to have the worst owner possible. That's the best for us. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing?
Hey, Will. What's up, buddy?
All right. You know, I'm pretty good with Paul George. I mean, it's really nothing else out there. I believe he's going to, you know, bring extra scoring to the team. And you know, I kind of kept saying, you know, bring Drummond back. I kept saying that, and, you know, I woke up this morning, and here goes Drummond, he's back. But you know what I would like for them to do, and just to try to do, is have, you know, bring back the Twin Tower effect. You know, keep Drummond and Embiid in at the same time. Since Embiid like to go out and shoot the J sometime or shoot the three, now you got a great rebounder and a great putback guy. Paul Reed, you know, I really like Paul, man. I always wish that he would do good, but he's just like fundamentally or something is off with his game where he just can't get it right. And just like what you were saying, he's comfortable with it. And I can't be comfortable with a player that's comfortable with, like, just being who he is and continuing to, you know, not help the team. The last thing is I just believe that we're better off now. I believe only thing we need to get is maybe another shooter. And, you know, just a one-year deal for another shooter and probably another center. Because I just want to see how that will work with both of them in the game at the same time. I believe they will, because Drummond is going to bring the power down low. And then, you know, Embiid can, you know, do what he do. He finesse or whatever. But we need some power. We need somebody that's going to dunk that ball and, you know, start to put fear in them guys underneath the basket. But I think we got a good pickup right now.
Well, look, the Drummond thing is people like that one. I mean, he was of all the backups they've had, Will, here for Embiid, Drummond's probably the best one they had in all
most
the years.
Most accomplished, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, to back up Embiid, mm-hmm. that is.
Yeah, definitely, because like when we had them, like they was balling together, and then toward the end of the season, they make that dumb trade with, you know,
Harden, Simmons and Harden.
Yeah, Simmons and Harden, and it was like they was balling. They was together. You know, they started to figure each other game out, and they were still moving. I believe if they never made that trade, we would have went further without Harden or the trade that they had. You know what I'm saying? But you know, I think we're gonna do good. And like you said, I think 60 games. I think we could work 60 games at least.
Optimistic. See, that's optimism.
Win 60 wins.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. I love the optimism on the first week of July. Will, we appreciate the phone call always. So the one thing that Drummond brings, and I think this probably goes to Kyle's point about if he was here last year, he's one of the better rebounders in the league. Always has been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he averaged 9 rebounds a game last year for the Bulls in 17 minutes per game. He's getting
pretty
a rebound every other minute he's on the court. And I just looked this up because I was just wondering. Andre Drummond, in the history of the NBA, 14th all-time in rebounds per game. He's a rebound machine. That's what he is.
Yeah. Think about what just having him out there on the court for 10 minutes in each of those games in that Knicks series does.
Well,
you win the series.
Well, they probably go 7. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, because it was a couple times, man, where they were just
they got so
second
many.
Chance, third chance, 10th chance shots that the Knicks got. It was bananas.
I wonder if they would actually play him and Embiid real minutes together, though. It's a lot of big on the court in a league that's mostly small.
I don't think you can do that
small.
In the playoffs.
Right. Like, maybe you can experiment during the regular season for a few minutes. I mean, they did it a little bit with Paul Reed as they tried to develop Paul, but not a lot. I mean, you might see it for a very brief period of time. Arnold's in Mount Airy. Hey, Arnold. Arnold. Going once.
Got shy.
Twice. Oh. Arnold got shy. That's all right. No big deal. Let's talk to David in Westchester. Hey, David.
I miss Arnold.
You know what? I really miss Arnold. I think Arnold had something great to say there, and we missed him.
Hey, let's play Dallas Cowboy Monopoly real quick.
Okay.
If your contract was up and Kyle's contract was up and Hugh's contract was up, who would you pay first? You, who is the mouthpiece of the show currently, Kyle, who is the glue that holds the show together, or Hugh Douglas?
Well, I can tell you who I'd pick last, David. Can we start there?
Yeah, there you go.
No, if you asked me for real, I wouldn't give you a real answer because we're teammates, and that would just be bad if I put that out there.
Oh, so you wouldn't do it?
No, I wouldn't give you a real answer.
But this is like pretend, like you guys do, like when you were going to trade
hypotheticals.
Hypotheticals. Oh, yeah, hypotheticals.
Got you there.
Yeah, he did get me on that. Hypothetically, Hugh should get paid, and Kyle should get paid.
No, you know what? But hypothetically, I wouldn't be mad if you said you should get paid first.
Yeah, but that's not being a good teammate.
No, but I'm saying, I mean.
Okay, but how about if I put it this way? Hugh should get paid last.
There
if you
go.
Said that would not bother me as long as I get paid. Like I'm in a different space.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? We're in a different space, and you know, I mean, it is what it is. But when you're a teammate with somebody, and you're in the trenches with them, and he said, like, this. Here's the thing: if that was a question that was just asked in conversation, that's something different. But there was a lot of icing on that cake mm-hmm. before that, you know, when he started talking about, you know, he need to be a better teammate and stop podcasting.
Hasn't accomplished a lot yet.
Yes, yeah. that's a different space to be in.
Does she do anything for?
Yeah, that, it's kind of like that.
We could
it's,
use
it's
that. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Negotiations.
Yeah.
Go ahead, David.
All right. As far as Paul George, Daryl Morey always just goes for like the shiniest toy, and you know, and you sit there like I think it's a good signing because that was all they had. But you had the Utah Jazz with Lori. Was that McKagan?
Markkanen. Lori Markkanen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who was available for a trade? Who put up the same numbers as younger, and probably would have fit in better with the 76ers because when Embiid gets hurt, then you got somebody who you know is younger. So you got two younger players out there, and you know but Daryl Morey can't pivot. You know how you guys pivot all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know he can't pivot. He gets his focus set. He hyper focuses, and you know like I said, he just wants that big name. Now is it a bad signing? No, I don't think so. But you did spend a lot of money. Where you're not going to be able to maneuver now for the next yeah, 4 years.
Well, they did. And to your point on Markkanen, and he just turned 27. Now, of course, that would have cost picks, and it's a trade. But, like, if you tell me right now, like, who's better over the next 4 years, Paul George or Lauri Markkanen, I'm going to pick Lauri Markkanen. He's just entering his prime. Paul George is 34.
Right, exactly. And that's, you know, and I mean, I don't know why you couldn't have been still talking to Paul George and maybe explored that a little bit and be like, hey, you know, well, sorry, Paul George, but, you know, we're going to go this route.
Yeah, they yeah. dove all in. I mean, I think they were afraid they'd lose him, and then they moved off it, and David, we appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, they made their bed now, Hugh. This is their team, and they don't really have much money to spend now. They could make a trade if they could find someone that makes a little bit of money that they could trade for picks, but in terms of, like, big players, this is their three now.
Yeah, I think with this move, though, Joe, they pushed. They're making a run this year. Like, that's what it feels like these next couple of years, because let's be realistic, even though I feel strongly about Joel Embiid and the fact that he's the best player on the court, those knees, man, you know, that he's had some knee issues,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to eventually catch up with him. So this is your, with I guess for lack of a better way of saying it, your last hurrah. You got like 2 years left, and you got to try to make a push, and that's what they're trying to do.
Well, that is it, because that's why the only reason to sign a 34-year-old is you expect his first couple years to still be really good, and then yes. you just cross your fingers at the end. Yeah, I mean, there's if you look at the Paul George contract, it's in a vacuum. Like, would you have done that? No. I mean, I don't think most teams would sign a player that old to that big of a contract, but they're here now, and they got to try to make this thing work for the next couple years. 215-592-9494. Your phone call is coming up. Chance to react with us on the Paul George signing. 4 years, $212 million. The Sixers get their guy. I'll give Morey credit for assembling a plan to have cap room and then using it to get the guy they wanted. I'm skeptical, though, of a player this old with this many injuries and this little playoff success that it's the right fit here with the Sixers. Hugh's excited. Kyle's happy Woo-hoo. Someone took the money from the Sixers. We'll react with you guys next. Plus, the Sixers still need a starter. We were looking at the roster. They have Eric Gordon to come off the bench. They have Oubre, who will likely start again. They brought Drummond back to back up Embiid. But who's going to start? Like, it's like a one more hole on this roster. We'll hit that next. Try to dive into some possible ideas. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, this week I'm talking to all the grill masters. Are you ready to fire the grill for your 4th of July celebration? Hatfield marinated pork tenderloins make summer grilling easy. Just unwrap, place on the grill, and let that savory goodness take over. Perfectly marinated and full of flavor, Hatfield pork tenderloins will make you a hero at your cookout. So gather your friends and get grilling.
I'm a big fan of Joel, man, and he's someone that, you know, we got a good relationship. I got a good relationship with Joel. every All-Star, we chop it up. We got to get the big fan. We need a bigger seat. Definitely got to get a bigger seat.
I mean, that's your buddy. Call him up.
I definitely am a big fan of Joel.
Well, you could tell because he signed here to play with him. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas,
good
Joe
times.
Giglio, Paul George, a Sixer, 4 years, $212 million. So here's the question before we go back to the phones here. Who's going to be the final starter? There's a piece of this puzzle missing now for Daryl Morey to go out and try to piece together. So I'm looking at the roster, Hugh, as it sits right now. And we expect them to trade Paul Reed at some point. That seems to be the expectation based on the cap. Obviously, the Drummond signing, they don't need that many centers. So here's what they have on the roster right now. Tyrese Maxey, Kelly Oubre, Paul George, Joel Embiid. There's four starters for you. Off the bench, Eric Gordon, Jared McCain, who they just drafted, obviously, in the first round. Ricky Council, Andre Drummond, and then they have the second-round pick they took as well from UCLA, a couple second-round picks. So they have very young players. They have the rookie first-round pick, McCain, who could get some playing time. They have Eric Gordon. They have Ricky Council. They have Andre Drummond. It feels like they're one player short, and I'm not sure if they can get another player in free agency. So this morning, Bobby Marks of ESPN put up they have about $9 million left in salary cap space.
Yeah.
That's not much, right? In the NBA, you know, real players get, I don't know, 12 to 20-something million if you're a starter. It's very rare to find a free agent starting player that makes, like, less than $9 million. You can, but it's rare. So I'm not sure who they're going to be able to get in free agency. Perhaps it's a trade. Perhaps they could trade for a player who's not making much, like swap out Paul Reed's money, some draft picks, and get a player. It does feel like they're missing one starter, unless we're comfortable with Eric Gordon at 35 years old starting.
Yeah, well, you know, like when I just went to the roster, like the projected starting roster, and he's in there right now. So, because you don't want to put the young guy out there, but I think if they keep it like that, then there's going to be an opportunity to see Jared a little bit. But
yeah,
no, you know, when you talk,
right.
I think that this is still a fluid situation, and they're probably going to try to look and see what kind of moves they can make as we move through this free agent period.
What do you think, huh?
I'm already sensing what's happening with Hugh Douglas here.
What do you mean?
Jared McCain is going to become one of Hugh's young Thundercats.
Right, hold up. No,
he's a Thundercat.
But no, listen. I listen to what's being said, man.
You get this too, Joe?
No, I'm saying I listen to what's being said. And Daryl Morey 1 week said he probably wasn't going to contribute that much. And then the next week he said he would. So I'm just going off of that. And then look at the present situation. When we're looking at our bench, who we have? We just got Drummond. We're probably going to trade Paul. Like you said, Joel, Ricky Council.
Mm.
So with that lineup, somebody's going to have to play a lot.
He's going to take a seat right next to Johan Rojas and Ringo.
I feel this coming. I mean, Hugh may be correct on this.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't mind bringing back De'Anthony Melton, who now I wonder how much he'll get in free agency. He got hurt, obviously. His season was derailed. What was that, like late January, early February with the back injury? He tried to come back. It didn't work. He got re-injured. I liked him, and it was a good trade by Morey a couple years ago. He's only 26. I would bring him back, but it seems like he's probably going to get more money than they have to spend. So I don't know where they go for the let's just say call it one more piece. You could, I mean, maybe you think Eric Gordon starts, whatever. But like they need another piece to this team, and it could be through a Paul Reed trade. So that's the next step here to keep an eye on. Can they sign one more player? And there's conflicting stuff out there on how much they actually have to spend. Mm-hmm. $9 million we saw projected. Maybe it's a little bit more. I don't know.
So the path, I feel like, is going to definitely be through the Paul George trade. And I know Dorian Finney-Smith is out there or like can be had. Power forward from the Nets. And then they can do like the mid-level exception type thing to round out the rest of the bench. I think I saw Gary Trent Jr. is going to be...
I'll take him.
Yeah. So like those are the kind of guys that I think we should have our eyes on. But then again, they could also sort of like wait it out and see what the Jazz want to do mid-season with Laurie. Yeah.
Well, they could, but that would mean we're playing a lot of the year with like a rookie or Eric Gordon playing a lot of minutes.
Keeping the powder dry.
Yeah. Well, then it's like the Phillies. And that powder better be used between now and July 30th, which is today July 1st?
Today is the
sure
first.
Sure is. Oh, well. Welcome to July, Joe.
Shout out to everybody who getting their barbecue ready for this barbecue, the 4th of July.
Be honest. Soaking Hold on a meat. Second. Does anyone know? Like, you just know when July 4th is. Anyone care when July 1st is?
It's yes.
Like, why?
Hardcore barbecuers do.
What's the difference between June 30th and July 1st?
Well, that's when you get the meat. You start getting the meat prepared for the grill.
Oh, like today's the day to start preparing.
Well, you start, like, it all depends, because I know some people that, like, they'll have their meats and they'll have their ribs, and they'll soak them in like soda.
Soda?
Yeah, like soda, like Pepsi, whatever.
I never heard of this. That sounds good.
Oh, that's old school. That's like, yeah. I have a friend down south, man, that he soaks his barbecue, his ribs. He put them in Pepsi for a couple of days and put them in the refrigerator.
I think it makes it more tender. Yeah. Because right? It sort of breaks down.
Yeah. Is the Pepsi before the seasoning and the barbecue sauce?
Yes.
Okay.
It's kind of like a brine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like that, man. And then after that, he everything else is a secret.
So is this what you're doing when you go home?
Oh, hell no. I'm looking for a place to stay. Trying to find me a place.
That's what I thought. All right, James in Southwest Philly. What's up, James?
Sound like you believe me, though.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, James.
What's going on, man?
Listen, after I get to my point, before I get cut off, I have a question for Joe and you to answer. Mm-hmm. But this is my thing. I like Paul George. I'm all right with that. Y'all act like 34 is old. 34 ain't old.
It's old for basketball players.
And another thing is, Paul George being injured, Embiid being injured, it's not their fault. It ain't like they wake up in the morning and say, well, you know, I think I want to be injured today. No. It's not their fault.
Oh, I agree. It's not their fault, but it's the reality. I mean, it's no one's fault. Well, they just get hurt all the time.
But how you going to hold them accountable for something that ain't their fault?
Because if they don't play, they don't play. I mean, like, what do you want to say?
All right. You and Joe, I need y'all to answer this question for me, right?
Yep.
What's the difference, in your opinion, between an all-star and a superstar?
Paul George?
An all-star is somebody that goes to all-star game stuff, but they're not like a superstar is a straight up and out. Like LeBron James is a superstar.
You build the franchise. Like they lead you to
a perfect example.
Championship or that kind of level.
LeBron James is an all-star. Tyrese Maxey is a superstar. Like, no, wait a minute. I had it mixed up. All-star, the other way around. The other way around.
Yeah.
All right. If I give you, real fast, give me one from the Eagles, one from the Sixers, and one from the Phillies. One player that you think is an all-star or a superstar that fit into that category. Because I had a debate with a friend of mine about this, and I said, well, I'm going to call the experts. They're no more than me.
I don't know about no expert.
All right, but here's the best. James, it's a good phone call. James, I like the question, James, and we appreciate it. So here's what I would say. He wanted examples from other teams.
Yes.
I think the Phillies is an easy one. Bryce Harper
is a superstar.
This year, Alec Bohm's going to go to the All-Star game.
He's an All-Star.
They're different levels.
Yeah.
Sixers, I think you brought up a good one. Like, there's Joel and Maxey.
Yeah, that's even better.
Paul George. Yeah, I mean, like, Paul George strikes me more of an all-star. I think he's made one first-team All-NBA. We could look that up. I think back in his Indiana days. Paul George has very rarely, for me, been a top 5 or 10 player in the league. But he's always been, like, one of the 20 or so best players in the league. There's value to that. I mean, it's hard to have the best, one of the 5 best players, but it's great to have one of the 20 best players.
He was first team in 2019.
One time. Yeah. But he's made a bunch of, how many All-NBA teams made? Like 3 or 4? 5?
5-time All-NBA third team.
Yeah, so that means you're a top 15 player in that season. 10 to 15. That's good. I mean, he's obviously been a good player.
He's got some all-defensive first teams in there, too.
There is a major difference, though, but to your point, Hugh, you mentioned LeBron. Like, a superstar and an all-star. They're different things.
Yeah, because LeBron, even at this age, at his advanced age, he's a needle mover. Like, he's a flat-out needle mover. Whether you like him or not, he moves the needle. The fact that we have had spirited debates over nepotism for the last couple of weeks, not so much here, but just the fact around America that they've had debates about nepotism tells you how much LeBron moves the meter.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back through the years, you could find a lot of players that made a few NBA All-Star teams, right? Like, All-Stars. Like, you could say, I'm just picking out some recent ones here. Luol Deng was an All-Star. Andre Drummond made 2 All-Star teams. I mean, like, you know, you can make an All-Star team here and there. Michael Finley, who was a good player, made it. Roy Hibbert, Allen Houston, I'm just going through the list here. But then the guys that make, like, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10
yeah,
or more.
Different. That's those
are,
different.
Yeah, they are.
Them different entities.
You know how many LeBron's made now?
What, 18, 19?
20.
Yeah, because he's been an All-Star since he's been in the league.
Since he walked in the league, yeah. Yeah, he passed Kareem for the most All-Star appearances. Kareem had 19. All right, let's go to Steve in Trenton. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem, man. Steve. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, so I came in with a couple points. Really not on Paul George, actually. I think it is what it is with him. If he plays healthy, he could really contribute. If he gets hurt, he's not going to contribute. But the other two things, quickly, I was really surprised they got Andre Drummond back. Weren't there statistics that he was one of the worst centers in the NBA when he was playing for us 3 years ago, and now we're bringing – you know, I know they needed a body, but unless they're definitely getting ready – Paul Reed, that really surprised me.
I think – so, Steve, I don't remember this – I don't remember offhand the stats that you're referencing, but I did think compared to some of the other backup centers they had for Embiid over the years – yeah, I liked him. Like, you know, because they've had some bums in here. I mean, like, you think about the series against the Raptors all those years ago. Who's it? Roy Hibbert or whoever it was. Like, they couldn't get anyone on the court that could play. So I didn't mind him a few years ago, and I'm fine that he's back.
Okay, yeah. I mean, well, kind of tying in with that, you know, and the adding the one more starter, I do think that they should make the push for Lauri Markkanen if they can somehow move Paul Reed. You know, that guy's only making like under $20 million a year, I'm pretty sure. And I've been saying for a while that what they really need is a guy who can play the four and the five, who can defend and play while Joel's off the court and kind of play that role. And also, you know, be a body to kind of stretch the floor a little bit while Joel is on the court. And I feel like, you know, the Knicks kind of have the right idea. You know, they are overrated, like Kyle said. But they have the right idea with getting rid of all the draft picks. If you can lock up 4 or 5 year starters for the next several years. And what do you need 3 years of draft picks for? I mean, we got Paul George for 4 or 5 years. We got Maxey for 5 years. We got, you know, Embiid's not going anywhere unless we ship him anywhere. So I would be fine with them giving away multiple draft picks, Paul Reed, to make that work. I think it would really round out the lineup.
Well, you know what it would give them? It would give them the best starting five in the league right there with Boston. Like, it would put them in that conversation. Steve, I think he's a tremendous player. Steve, good phone call. If they could pull it off, sure. Get one more big player in here?
Yeah.
I would do it. I don't know if they can.
Yeah, they're trying to figure it out. And, you know, you're talking about the B-ball Paul Reed money coming off the books. They're going to try to make a move. But right now, with $9 million, I don't know, like it's going to be a big one. Not like that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure yet. And Kyle was talking about waiting to, maybe during the season. I don't know if the Jazz actually want to trade Lauri Markkanen. I mean, like, he's 27 and he's really good.
Yeah, but not right now.
Right.
Or so unless, like, in the middle of the season, they might be convinced otherwise.
And maybe they are looking to be overwhelmed the way the Knicks overwhelmed the Nets with like 4 or 5 first round picks. The Sixers have, I think, 4 first rounders they're allowed to trade in the next, you know, I guess, handful of years or more. That they'd have to give them all to the Jazz to get Lauri Markkanen.
Well, I mean, are you serious about winning the title or not?
Well, that would – now, if you add Lauri Markkanen to Paul George and Embiid and Maxey, now that we're talking.
Yeah.
I mean, you have 4 guys that could
that
average 20
exciting.
A game.
Would you put them ahead of Boston if they did that?
I'd put them with Boston.
With them?
Yeah.
Okay.
With them.
You'd be a contender.
I'd put them definitely way ahead of the Knicks.
So they're only a piece away in your eyes.
That's hard to get that piece. They don't just grow on trees, 23, 27-year-olds.
You shake a tree and they'll fall.
I don't know about that. All right, Squirrel in Myrtle Beach. What's up, Squirrel?
Yeah, what's going on? Hey, Hugh, put some respect on my name, bro.
I didn't say nothing, man. I just laughed. I just chuckled. It was a chuckle. Hey,
cook them, Hugh.
This is Squirrel of the Pearls, and that tells you what era I'm from.
Okay, you back. You OG. Okay, OG. My bad,
okay,
OG.
So back up. You're a big dude, Hugh. You ain't that big, homie.
I got you, OG. Respect.
Wow.
Hey, but I didn't call in to argue with Hugh. Joe Gilio, you full of crap, man.
Why?
Because I called you when you was on your ninth show when you were begging the Sixers to get Harden. And I called in to you because I was against the trade.
Mm.
I told you the Sixers had the best backup center they'd ever had for Embiid. You said, you laughed at me, first of all. Then you told me, we can get a backup center playing out back at the station.
Well, I don't remember the call, Squirrel, but I believe I'm buying.
That does sound like something you would say.
Yeah, it does sound like something I said. Squirrel, hold on. Let's go back. Was the spirit of this that the Andre Drummond was a big deal? Like, was that the spirit of the conversation?
The spirit of it is when we played the Atlanta Hawks right after the trade, when Embiid went to the bench, they went to the glass to get layups. We had no backup. We've been a poor rebounding team since Andre Drummond. He's a backup. But you can play Andre Drummond if Embiid is out. You cannot go far with B-ball Paul.
That's fine. You, Squirrel, you win this round. My point then, though, and my point now is this isn't going to move the needle to win a championship. It's a backup center. Like, it's nice to have a good one, but, like, I'm not losing sleep over the backup center, whether you can find him out back by the trash or not.
First of all, thank you for letting me win this round.
You got
but
it.
But the point is this. There's no backup center playing behind your station, number one.
At least you well, we don't know that.
Since, yeah, well, when you didn't bring him in since February 10th, 2022.
I don't know. I saw a pretty tall guy on my walk-in this morning.
We have scouts down there right now.
We got some tall dudes downstairs.
Yeah, okay. Well, then tell them why are you playing behind the station? And the next thing, we need a backup for Joel's problem. Joel goes to the bench. We don't have anything in the middle. B-ball Paul gives you energy, but you need somebody that can rebound the basketball.
I agree with that, Squirrel. And they got, based on the market and the backup center market, I think they got a decent one. Squirrel, actually a good one. Squirrel, we appreciate it. Squirrel wins that one. He wins that debate. I don't remember from a few years ago, but I buy it.
Yeah, but it does sound like something.
It does, yeah.
Yo, that's pretty Julio, you full of crap, man.
I like that. That's a good one. So I kind of remember that night, and I there were a lot of people against the Simmons-Harden trade because they also had to give up Drummond in it. And I think my point then was like, that's not going to make the difference here. Like, this is a Simmons-Harden trade.
And then what happened? Then it made the difference in the Knicks series.
Well, no, it didn't. I mean, you know what this all comes... This is what frustrates me about this.
What's that?
The issue is that and then Embiid is hobbling around or tired, and we're like, well, if we had a better backup center, instead of saying, what if Embiid was just, you know,
healthy?
Like, that's yeah, the part, but that's the real issue.
Yeah, I mean, I pick up what you're putting down, but you know, we have to CYA in this situation, and I think that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to CYA. Yeah.
I mean, Embiid's not going to be able to play 48 minutes a game, whether he's fully healthy or not, so we have to do something about the non-Embiid minutes. I think the point is just that the non-Embiid minutes were what killed us against the Knicks. That's why it's the difference.
So you're probably right on that, but in the NBA playoffs, like the championship players play 45 minutes in playoff games. Jalen Brown has to come off the floor. Like that's part of the issue with Embiid.
Yeah, but Jalen Brown's a guard. Joel Embiid's supposed to be one of the more physically dominant players on the court.
But this is part of why winning with big people is hard. Yeah. I mean, it's
more
challenging.
That's why you add Paul George and Maxey.
Ah, there we go. But Paul George, Mr. Durability. I mean, just get him out there and he'll play the 45 minutes.
I know we're asking for a whole lot.
Yeah, we are. We're
asking
are.
For a whole lot.
Herb in the Northeast, I need his take on Paul George. Herb!
Here we go! 76ers!
Herb from Herb.
One, two, three. Here we go.
Sing it, Herb.
Sing it, Herb. Go for it.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 76ers. Here we go. Here we go.
I don't think Herb believe in
we're doing it. Just what I told the man. What did I tell him? Go get some big men. I told that general manager at 1:30 in the morning. Yes, sir.
And he listened.
Name
and
drop.
He listened. Yeah, Daryl.
You called him. You called him. You was the one that told him to make this move.
I spoke to Daryl Morey and Elton Brand face to face, baby.
Thank
and
you, Herb.
Let me tell you, those eyes were wide open looking at me. Oh yeah, we got it. We got it. We
I'm
got
looking
it.
At a threesome.
Now, were you on the trip? Were you there too? It was Nurse and Maury and Herb?
I got something new. I just took and bought this morning. Hugh Doug, this is called PMD. We got to give this to Embiid. It's called Andro Hardcore. 90 tablets to the bottle. Yeah,
you're taking Andro, Herb?
Yeah, I don't think Andro. Ain't that what Mark McGuire was taking?
Yeah, it was. It was in his locker, yeah.
Yeah, but this is better. It's called Professional Muscular Development. That's what Embiid needs, yeah.
Now, what are you doing when you take it? Like curls, benching? What are you doing?
I just took one, and I just took another one after the workout.
But what do you do? What's the workout? What's the workout these days?
Yeah, boy. Okay. All right, so I want to ask you a question.
It's like
what happened to these other players that we had that we brought in here last year? What's his name? The kid from Indiana, the shooter. What happened with him?
Buddy Hield?
Yeah, Buddy Hield.
He's a free agent.
But they're not going to re-sign him, mm-hmm. right?
No, he's gone.
All right, so they're probably going to bring in a few more players. You know that. They're going to bring in another.
We got nine. They only got nine yams.
You should call
them
and let them know, Herb.
Hey, if they can go over it, they can pay the tax if they go over it, whatever. They can pay the tax.
Just work around the rules. Yeah, I like that.
Don't bring in another forward. Don't bring in another backup center.
So you want guards. You want guards.
It's probably happening.
They got, don't be all right. There's a lot of players out there. Just got to figure it out.
What's your win total right now, Herb? How many wins next season?
Well, if Embiid is healthy, if Embiid is healthy, and this other guy gives us a good, let's say, 55 to 60 games easy, I expect the Sixers to win, like, a healthy Embiid, this team to win 60, I would say between 62 and 64 games.
Between 62 and 64. Yeah. So we got Herb's number.
I'm going to tell you something. The numbers, they won 47, and they didn't have Embiid. When they lost Embiid, the team was 26-8.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.